In public radio, support from the listeners is the foundation for keeping this station solvent and operating smoothly from year to year. Thanks for deciding to be a part of what we do, to be on the team with your financial support for this station. It really does mean a lot. In all the years we've been bringing you Travel with Rick Steves, one of the fellow travelers we've enjoyed talking with most was British actor Martin Clunes. We reached him from a home studio he keeps out back of his farm in Dorset to talk about the coastal regions of Cornwall. The location itself where his crew filmed the Doc Martin TV series was so distinctive, you could kind of think of it as another character on the show. Martin and I had a few minutes to talk about how we both enjoy the southwest of England. Martin, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
You know, Martin, your TV show, Doc Martin, is set in a real city, Port Isaac, and it's a fictitious town in the show, Port Wen. When you think about Cornwall, is this sort of the quintessential classic look at Cornwall when you think about Port Isaac?
It's, there's more to Cornwall than the kind of Port Isaac type village. I mean, it's typical of the north coast, which is far more rugged. And that was all, I think it was the sardine and the pilchard fishing industry that, you know, they were sort of built on.
Pilchards. I love that idea of pilchards. And when you go to Cornwall, you find guys pressing pilchards into these round cartons, just like they were in the old days.
Yeah. I don't know what they do with them then. I never see them for sale anywhere.
Historically, they used to light the lamps of London, I think, pilchard oil.
Really?
Yeah. Fascinating.
Wow, that must have stunk.
Yeah. But there's a lot of fishy corners of Cornwall. And what you get in Cornwall, for our listeners, this is the southwest tip of England. You've got a Celtic region, don't you? Isn't there sort of a...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And as you drive west, you can sort of almost sense the landmass diminishing around you as it gets thinner and thinner.
It gets ruggeder and ruggeder. I always feel like ages and ages ago in the misty past of Britain, it was inhabited by Celtic people. And then these other people came over from the continent, Angles and Saxons, and they pushed the Celtic people to the rocky, hard-to-farm corners, you know, Scotland, Cornwall, Wales. And even to this day, we still have that ruggeder kind of stock of people living on ruggeder land.
Yeah, I mean, there are theories that England was run from Cornwall, of course, because King Arthur and...
That's right, King Arthur was there.
...is associated. But, you know, it's not to be taken that seriously, because I think the first historian came about 300 years after his death, and he was a balladeer, so if it didn't rhyme, it didn't make the tune, you know?
Oh, no, that's funny. Rhymes shaping history. But the history goes back even farther than that, doesn't it? Because... I mean, according to legend, Joseph of Arimathea was
Joseph of Arimathea. Well, he was, Somerset, the Thorn of Arimathea, is at Glastonbury, where they have the rock festival.
Yeah, but he was looking for tin or something like that. He was a tin merchant.
Oh, he possibly was, the little scamp. I didn't know that.
Hey, Martin, when you think about Cornwall, I think also about prehistoric sites. Dramatic stone circles, standing stones, clapper bridges, all over the south of England, but in Devon and in Cornwall. Do you have any attraction to that yourself when you're roaming around your neck of the woods?
We have the giant of Cerne Abbas. I don't know if you've ever heard of him in Dorset.
I love that. These are. It occurs to me all of South England is like 6 feet of topsoil and then chalk under that. And in ancient times, they could cut away the topsoil and you'd have a big white figure underneath that you could put on the side of a hill and advertise.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also wonder if it wasn't because there's something about the giant of Cerne Abbas that looks like it was the work of vandals because it's faintly obscene. I don't know. Maybe they just drank too much and went, come on, let's go and do that hillside.
Well, for our listeners who haven't been there, this is a giant. It must be one of the hugest figures ever carved by human beings. And it's got a giant erection sticking straight up to his belly button. And I understand that maidens would go there in the night on the summer solstice and leap over his penis in hopes of being more fertile. Did you ever hear that?
I did hear that, yes. I filmed there on a show I used to do called Men Behaving Badly.
What is the name of this figure again? I forget his name. It's the giant.
He's called the Giant of Cerne Abbas, C-E-R-N-E. It's a beautiful little village, a beautiful hillside.
One thing about Cornwall to me is it is, in a lot of ways, a tourist trap. You go to Tintagel, everything is King Arthur stuff. I mean, there's even a bar called the Excalibar where you can have...
Yeah, isn't that crass? In the castle, yes. Yes, we filmed in the Excalibar.
Is it still there?
Actually, I think they might have renamed it. It's been taken over by the Scientologists.
Okay, well, they're probably serving a different brew right now.
Yeah, God knows.
And you got to go to Land's End when you're in Cornwall.
Yeah, I suppose you have. It's a bit of a dump, but it's quite nice to fly over. I shouldn't say it's a dump, shouldn't I? Please.
Oh, you can say that. We're not. I just think it's a lot of drive to get out to Land's End, and there's other charms. I would spend time in Dartmoor. I just love Dartmoor.
I love Dartmoor too. Or Mare's Iron and St. Michael's Mount. That's magical around there.
Martin Clunes, I am so thankful for the work that you do, and it's just a delight to talk to you about your corner of Britain, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been really nice talking to you.
Actor Martin Clunes starred in the Doc Martin series, which was filmed in the coastal town of Port Isaac on the northern coast of Cornwall. It's been a big hit in Britain and has also been showing on public TV in the United States for many years. As a TV and radio host myself, I like working in public broadcasting. It's an environment where I find people are mission-driven and genuinely interested in different cultures. The only thing we're pushing is for a better understanding of our world. I hope that what you hear will stoke your empathy for people from all parts of our world. We're not afraid of what makes us different. In fact, we celebrate it. And while public radio is a locally based system as an alternative to commercial media in the U.S., the network news and shared programming you hear on many stations can also help us identify with like-minded citizens all across our country. When you find a public radio station on the dial wherever you might travel, you know that as you listen, you can feel right at home. I like to think of the financial commitments of listeners like you as the fuel in the engine of public radio. You've probably been hearing us remind you for a while now that listener support is what keeps this station running strong. But do you realize how important your financial support for this station actually is? That's why we're holding this special membership campaign, so we don't take what we treasure for granted. If you've done what you can already, thank you. And enjoy listening with the satisfaction that you are on the team. You're a part of this great community of public radio. And if you haven't had a chance yet to help out, hey, how about now? We're so grateful for everybody who listens and supports public radio. And we'd love to have you on board as well.